Okay, welcome back to hour number two of the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker Campbell, and we already highlighted the NBA in hour number one with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Time now to shift our focus and our attention on the Eastern Conference, and there is no doubt, it's been talked about all year long and chronicled, the huge disparity between the Western and the Eastern Conferences. But with LeBron James scoring a career and a franchise high 61 points on Monday night against the Bobcats, that made quite a statement, so we want to get into that. And we are delighted to welcome back the senior NBA analyst with BasketballInsiders.com. Check out their work online. It is awesome. Bill Ingram. Good to have you with us tonight, Bill. Thank you so much.
Hey, always a pleasure.
Well, the NBA, the MVP race intensifies, and it is certainly one of the hot topics. What is your opinion between LeBron and KD? Who is the front runner in your mind?
Well, I think the thing with the MVP race, and it's usually this way, is you could say, you know, for a while there were three names you could throw out there when Derrick Rose was healthy, but you could say, hey, LeBron James is the MVP, and there's not much of an argument. Okay, you can say Kevin Durant's the MVP, and there's not much of an argument. You can't say, well, no, he's not, because... So what you're looking for is some small way to give one an edge over the other. And in this case, I think where you've got the Oklahoma City Thunder playing without all-star point guard Russell Westbrook for the vast majority of the season, and yet they're sitting atop the Western Conference, I think, and the fact that Kevin Durant has just been as good as he has been up to this point in his career, he's been even better, which is just amazing that someone can continue to push themselves to new heights the way KD does. To me, it's Kevin Durant, because the other side of that is, and again, we're looking for small little nuances that make the difference between one or the other to differentiate. But when Dwayne Wade doesn't play, Miami is not very good. They struggle. And that is not an indication of something where LeBron is going to pick that team up and carry them, and they'll be just as good if Dwayne Wade is not in there. Dwayne Wade is so important to the success of the Miami Heat, and I just don't think that you can have an MVP who is not the most important factor for his team. So that's kind of, again, flip a coin. They're both having MVP seasons. You can't say either one is not worthy of consideration. So you're looking for a small thing, and to me, the fact that being without Russell Westbrook made no difference because Kevin Durant just elevated his game that much more, that says a lot about Kevin Durant, and I just think, you know, that might be just enough to give him the edge in MVP voting.
Well, it is such a close race, but the last I checked on the stats, LeBron James still trails Durant in scoring and player efficiency. How much does that factor into it?
I think that's some, but honestly, when the voting comes for MVP, they're not looking at PER, they're not looking at, there's going to be a little bit of emotion involved, there's going to be a little politics involved. You know, LeBron has been MVP a few times. Kevin Durant has been just as good.
Four times.
And just hasn't won. So I also think the fact that KD doesn't have his MVP will influence the fact that with the season he's having, they're going to say, it's Kevin Durant's year.
So let's give some love to LeBron James. As I mentioned in the open, a career, a franchise high, 61 points on Monday night against the Bobcat. That type of a performance, Bill, where does that rank among some of his all-time greatest games? I mean, you've covered him for so many years.
Okay. Definitely up there for LeBron personally. Yeah, I think that's, you know, it's too bad it didn't come in a game seven of the finals or something, where it was a game that really meant something.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you're talking about the best team in the Eastern Conference, or at least the reigning Eastern Conference champion, taking out one of the teams that didn't make the playoffs last year. So, you know, should he go for 61 against Charlotte? I mean, it's kind of, and you mentioned in the opening the disparity in the talent in the East. The top is so much better than the bottom that, Charlotte wouldn't be a playoff team in the Western Conference. So having a great game against a fairly, I don't want to say they're terrible, they're not terrible, but a team that's not very good, it's hard for me to see that as something that you sort of highlight and hang a feather on because of just the number. I think the situation matters too.
You know, it was interesting because I watched postgame, and of course, head coach Eric Spoelstra, he was quick to point out, the fact that LeBron had 61 points, but LeBron is more than that. He is a facilitator. He's a creator. So my question to you is, Bill, should he consider being more selfish?
Well, there's no question. There's no question that when you have the kind of talent that he has and the ability that he has, and I mean, just the way when Shaq was in his prime, there was no one in the NBA that could guard him. He was bigger, he was stronger than everybody. And LeBron, when he decides he's getting to the hole, he's getting to the hole. And there's no one that can stop him. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
When he's determined that he's just going to impose his will, But he chooses not to do that a lot of times. And I think that's, if there's one thing about LeBron that's really a head scratcher, you know, it's what has to happen for him to decide that it's time to turn it on. Because so much of the time you're watching him and it's like, well, is he gonna do it? Is he gonna play? Is he gonna score? Or what's he's gonna stand around? He's gonna take a crazy three pointer instead of driving to the hole. I mean, that's sort of the factor. And that in a nutshell is Miami too. Because when you talk about can Miami get past, say, Indiana in the Eastern Conference, like, well, can they? Yes, I think they can, but it depends on whether whatever that is, that light switch that has to turn on for LeBron to play in beast mode, that has to turn on. And it doesn't always. And if it doesn't turn on four times in that Eastern Conference Final Series, they won't advance to the finals because Indiana's going to bring it every night.
Absolutely. Hey, so Bill Ingram is with us this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He's the senior NBA analyst with BasketballInsiders.com. I want to encourage you to go and check out some of his work. And Bill, I know your latest post, five reasons why to watch the Eastern Conference. Kind of break that down for us.
Yeah, well, I think for most of the season, it's been, well, if it's not Indiana versus Miami, I'm not watching it. I mean, me personally, as an analyst who covers the league, if it's not those two teams playing each other, if it's, you know, Indiana's playing, name another team, Milwaukee or, you know, any Detroit, like, who cares? Yawn. They're either going to blow them out or if the other team has a shot, it's only if Indiana decides they don't care and they're not really focused. So, but what we have seen is over the last really month, a couple of teams have gotten pretty interesting. One of those, when Toronto traded Rudy Gay, and then they were working to trade Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, the idea was they were going to tank for lottery position in what promises to be a franchise-changing draft this summer. And what happened instead, before they could trade DeRozan and Lowry, the team started playing so well that they decided not to break it up. And now they're, you know, pushing in a third seed in the Eastern Conference. So there's one. Then you have Chicago, a team that lost Derrick Rose very early for the season. Then they trade Lou Alding, and again you're thinking, okay, Chicago's throwing it in, they're going to rebuild, they're going to look for one of these draft picks, and instead they keep winning, and they're in the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference. So you've got two teams that set out to sort of tank, and instead they're both very, very, you know, they've played very, very well, and they're sitting in a position to have home court advantage in the playoffs. So the other thing is Charlotte has only made the playoffs once in franchise history, and they are on course to make it again. Al Jefferson has been a brilliant addition. The coaching change has been fantastic. And management is finally starting to put some nice pieces in there that you could build around long term. I also put Indiana on that list, and not for the reason you think. Yes, they're the dominant team in the East. But the fact that they traded Danny Granger, who was such a huge part of their chemistry. He's the one that helped them rebound from the brawl era. He's the guy that kind of brought them back into the hearts and minds of fans. The fact that they traded him for Evan Turner is a risk. It's risky because Evan Turner's not a chemistry guy. He's healthy, which Danny Granger is not. Danny Granger's knee is such that he really is going to do well to contribute at all. Whereas Evan Turner has proven that he can be a high-level scorer in the NBA. So there's a risk there, but there's also the chance that he could be the piece once he gets into the groove with Indiana. Evan Turner could be the guy that puts them over the top. You've got a tremendous scoring force off the bench. So there are plenty of reasons to watch the Eastern Conference, even though, you know, for the most part, you know it's coming down to Indiana and Miami, and one of those teams will be in the finals, and more than likely it's going to be Miami. We can kind of predict some things, but as we wait to get to that point, there are some situations to watch that could prove to be interesting.
You know, I'm glad you brought up Evan Turner, because, and I wanted to hear your evaluation on him, because he really does strengthen their bench, because that's the one area that the Pacers, they've got to have a little bit more depth, especially not only making a run, but to try to win it all this year.
Yeah, and you can't have Paul George playing 45 minutes all the way up to the finals. And as you mentioned, the bench was the one shortcoming, and what have they done? They added Luis Scola, and he's great. He's a solid defender, and he can score also, certainly put some points on the board, he can play really either front court position depending on the matchup, but mostly he's going to score spell David West. So you've got yet another guy off the bench that adds that depth that can be so important. As we've seen, year after year, somebody off the bench plays a big role. And so you've got to have an arsenal of weapons that at any time someone could step in and be the reason you win a series. And Evan Turner's that kind of player.
The NBA regular season is quickly wrapping up, and the playoff picture is coming into focus. And we've been breaking it all down with Bill Ingram, the senior NBA analyst with BasketballInsiders.com. Go online, check out his work. It's outstanding. And Bill, always a pleasure. You stay warm up there in Dallas, okay?
Stay warm or stay cool, depending on what the what the weather is doing today.
So, oh, it's
always
great.
A pleasure.
Absolutely. We'll see you real soon. Thanks, Bill.
You bet.
Much more straight ahead this weekend at YSR, the Big E Sports Show.